We always begin our khutbah with this ayah from Surah An-Nisa. And it is something that is from the sunnah of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he would typically begin his sermons with this khutbah al-hajjah that is called, and included in it is the first verse of Surah An-Nisa. And this verse goes as follows: Ya ayyuhan nas, O ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, O you believe, ittaqullaha haqqa tuqatih, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ittaqullaha, fear Allah Azza wa Jal, who created you from a single soul, and from that soul created its mate. And وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ الَّذِي تَسَاءَلُونَ بِهِ وَالْأَرْحَامِ. Fear Allah, so it's repeated twice in the verse, fear Allah, in whose name you ask each other for what you want, and also have taqwa of arham. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ الَّذِي تَسَاءَلُونَ بِهِ والأرحام. Now this ayah has caused our scholars to try to interpret, what does it mean that Allah is saying fear the arham? وَاتَّقُوا الْأَرْحَامِ. What does it mean to have taqwa of arham, and what is arham? Arham is the plural of rahim, and rahim translates as, quite literally, the womb. You call the womb of a woman, you call it arrahim. But of course, there is a deeper connotation, and that is the connotation of family. The connotation of family. The Arabic word for family and for kinship is ar-rahim, from the word for womb, because obviously all members of a family, they go back to one person or one couple. Every tribe, every group of cousins and second cousins and third cousins, eventually they all go back to one womb. And so the concept of family in Arabic comes from the word womb, ar-rahim. And Allah says in the Quran, have taqwa of Allah, in whose names you ask things for, and have taqwa of arham. What does it mean to have taqwa of arham? Our scholars have said this verse can be understood in one of two ways. Number one, Allah is saying, have taqwa of Allah, in whose name you ask people to give you things. Meaning what? You say, I ask you, by Allah, help me. By Allah, I ask you to help me. And in the name of the family, you ask people to help you. So this means you will go to your brother, your cousin, you will say, for the sake of family, we are brother, we are cousin, I need your help. So Allah is reminding that the family unit takes care of each other. Another interpretation is, be conscious of the rights of Allah and be conscious of the rights of the family. Have taqwa of Allah and have taqwa of the rights of the family. And both of these interpretations are valid in the Quran. And what they imply is that the family has a high privilege, second to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We all know in the Quran that Allah puts the rights of the parents after Allah. This is true. But the reality is that the rights of the family come after the rights of Allah. And within the family, the parents have the most right. So in the Quran, you will find verses that it's Allah and then the parents. But you will also find verses that it's Allah and then the family. And there's no contradiction, because who deserves the most amongst the family? It is the parents. For example, in Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذْ أَخَذَ اللَّهُ مِيثَاقَ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ. Remember when Allah took the covenant with the children of Israel. What was this covenant? What was this covenant? That they worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they be good to their parents, وَبِذِ الْقُرْبَى, and their family, وَالْيَتَامَى, and the orphans, وَالْمَسَاكِينَ, and the poor. In Surah An-Nisa, the exact same thing. وَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ وَلَا تُشْرِكُ بِهِ شَيْئًا وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا وَبِذِ الْقُرْبَى وَالْيَتَامَى وَالْمَسَاكِينِ وَالْجَارِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى وَالْجَارِ الْجُنُبِ وَالصَّاحِبِ بِالْجَمْعِ. The same essential commandment, that Allah has commanded you to worship Him alone, and don't associate partners with Him, that you be good to your parents and to the relatives and the orphans and the poor and the close neighbors and the far neighbors and the companions and the traveler. And the verse goes on and on. Notice, Allah mentions family before even mentioning orphans. Allah mentions family before even mentioning the fuqara and masakin. Worship Allah, be good to parents, and fulfill the ties of the family. and be good to the orphans, and be good. So notice, where does family come? After Allah and the parents comes the family, and as we said, the family includes the parents. And in fact, we learn from the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that in reality, this is of the very earliest commandments. Amr ibn Abbas came from Yemen to Mecca, and he was searching for the truth, and it's a long story. We mentioned it in the seerah. This is before the Prophet ﷺ began preaching publicly. And he heard that there's somebody hiding in Mecca, or hiding means he's not public, not hiding that he doesn't, the people don't see him, that he's not public in his message, that is preaching a separate message. And so Amr ibn Abbas, he found out who the Prophet ﷺ was, and he went up to him and he said, "What are you? Ma ant?" So the Prophet ﷺ said, "Ana nabi." I am a Nabi. So he said, "Wama Nabi?" What is a Nabi? He's never heard of a Nabi. So the Prophet said, "Arsalani Allah." Allah has sent me. Allah has sent me. And the Prophet and the Amr ibn Abbas said, "What has Allah sent you with? What has Allah sent you with?" So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Arsalani Allah." Allah has sent me with what? Number one, that we worship Him alone and we destroy idols. And number two, that we fulfill the ties of kinship with birr and ihsan. This was the only commandment at this point in time. There's no other commandment. There is no salah and zakah. There is no hajj. What has Allah sent me with? Number one, that He be worshipped alone and no idols. And number two, that we be good to silatul arham. That we be good with those of our kinship and our ties of relationship. And if you see how clear this understanding was, when you look at other incidents of the seerah, when the Muslims migrate to Abyssinia and the Negus calls Ja'far ibn Abi Talib and he says, "What is your message? What has the Prophet ﷺ told you?" And once again, we find the same paragraph. "He has sent us to worship one God and to avoid false gods and to be good to our family and to speak the truth," and it goes on and on. But the second commandment was silatul arham. The same goes in front of the emperor of Rome, the Roman emperor, when he hears of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he calls Abu Sufyan and he says, "What does he teach you? What is the Prophet's message?" And Abu Sufyan at the time was not even a Muslim, but he knew what the message of Islam was. He said, "He is teaching us to worship one God and to be good to our family." Look at how the message of Islam was perceived by the early converts and even by the early rejectors. Both Ja'far and Abu Sufyan. Ja'far is an early convert. Abu Sufyan at the time is an enemy. The both of them summarized Islam with the same paragraph. Worship one God and be good to the silatul arham. And silatul arham, as we said, it means to be good to the entire family, not just parents, siblings, cousins, uncles and aunts, and the extended relatives. And in fact, the concept of fulfilling the ties of kinship is so strong that Allah commands the early Muslims to guard the relatives more than to guard their relationship with the Muhajirun and Ansar, which is the highest status of the Sahaba. Allah explicitly says that the family ties are even stronger than the ties of the Muhajirun and the Ansar and your love for them. Imagine that. The family unit and the family ties are stronger than the love we should feel for the Muhajirun and the Ansar. And Allah mentions this in multiple verses in the Quran of them. In Surah Al-Ahzab, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, "An-Nabiyyu awla bil mu'minina min anfusihim wa azwajuhu ummahatuhum wa ulul arhami ba'duhum awla bi ba'din fi kitabillahi minal mu'minina wal muhajirin." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is closer to the believers. He cares more about the believers than they care about themselves. In other words, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam cares more about you than you care about yourself. And his wives are their mothers. Wa azwajuhu ummahatuhum wa ulul arham ba'duhum awla bi ba'd. Family members, they have to have stronger ties with one another than even the mu'minin and the muhajirin should have ties with them. Now, the context of the verse is primarily about inheritance, primarily. But the wording is very clear. The family unit is supposed to have very strong ties. And I already mentioned that in Arabic, the word for family comes from the word for womb. And that is ar-rahim. But all of you also know, when you hear the word rahim, that another thing comes to mind. And that is the concept of mercy. Rahima. Ar-Rahman. It is from the same root. And this is not a coincidence. In a hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari. In a hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari, our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, when Allah created the creation and He finished creating the creation, Ar-Rahim stood up. Now, how could the womb stand up? How could the family stand up? This is from Ilm al-Ghayb, we do not know. The family, the concept of family stood up. Ar-Rahim stood up. And here we translate Ar-Rahim as the concept of family. Family stood up. And family said to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is the time now to seek refuge in you and to get the status that I deserve. What is the status I have? So when Allah created the creation, everything has been created, family stands up. However, we don't understand how. And family, the concept, asks Allah, now that I've been created, I want to know my maqam. What is my maqam in your eyes? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, aren't you content that I shall associate with those who associate with you? Asilu man wasalaki. The Arabic is very powerful. Whoever associates with one's family, I shall associate with them. And aqta'u man qata'aki. Whoever breaks away from their family, I shall break away from that person. Aren't you happy? Aren't you content that I shall be associating with those who associate with you? Whoever fulfills the ties of family, I shall be with that person. And whoever breaks off the ties of family, I shall break off from that person. This hadith is in Sahih Bukhari and in Sahih Muslim, the most authentic book of hadith. What a powerful hadith, and what a dangerous warning to those who cut off the ties of the family. In a similar version, slightly different, in Sunan at-Tirmidhi and others, the hadith goes as follows, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, so the Prophet says that Allah says, أَنَ اللَّهُ وَأَنَ الرَّحْمَانِ. I am Allah and I am Ar-Rahman. And I created the rahim. وَأَنَ الرَّحْمَانِ خَلَقْتُ الرَّحِمِ. So there is a clear usage of the term Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim. I am Ar-Rahman and I created the family and I derived my name from the Rahim. شَقَقْتُ لَهَا إِسْمًا مِنْ إِسْمِي. So from the concept of family, Allah is saying, I derive my name Ar-Rahman. In other words, the name Ar-Rahman and the concept of family are linked together, not just linguistically, intentionally by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The word for family and the most powerful name of Allah after Allah is the name Ar-Rahman. And Allah says, my name is Ar-Rahman, and from Ar-Rahman I created Ar-Rahim, and from Ar-Rahim I extracted my name. In other words, the two are linked together. Family and Ar-Rahman are linked together. And that is why in the same hadith, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that whoever connects with Ar-Rahim has connected with me, Ar-Rahman. And whoever cuts off from Ar-Rahim has cut off from me, Ar-Rahman. So if you want the Rahmah from Rahman, you have to be connected to the Rahim. And if you don't want the rahmah from Ar-Rahman, then cut off from the rahim. This is what the hadith is saying. If you want Allah's rahmah, you have to be connected to the rahim. Silatul arham. The concept of connecting with your kinship. And in fact, cutting off from one's family is one of the very few acts in the Quran that brings about Allah's la'na. Allah's la'na is the most severe punishment. It is worse than Allah's adab. Not everybody who suffers adab is under Allah's la'na. Hear me carefully. Not everybody who suffers adab is under Allah's la'na. Because there will be many who will undergo adab but then be forgiven after that. There will be many who will be punished in Jahannam, and that is Allah's adab. But then they will be forgiven and they will enter Jannah. But there is a category that is worse than Allah's adab, and that is Allah's la'na. And Allah's la'na is the ultimate punishment. Who will be given to? Well, the Quran mentions around a dozen or so, just a dozen. And one of them, one of the categories upon whom Allah's la'na is given, is the one who cuts off the rahim. Allah says in the Quran, وَالَّذِينَ يَنْقُضُونَ عَهْدَ اللَّهِ مِنْ بَعْدِ مِيثَاقِهِ وَيَقَطَعُونَ مَا أَمَرَ اللَّهُ بِهِ أَنْ يُوصَلَ وَيُفْسِدُونَ فِي الْأَرْضِ أُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمُ اللَّعْنَةُ وَلَهُمْ سُوءُ الدَّارِ. The ones who break off Allah's covenant, so to commit the major sins, our scholars have said, and the ones who cut the ties that Allah has commanded them to fulfill, وَيَقَطَعُونَ مَا أَمَرَ اللَّهُ بِهِ أَنْ يُوصَلَ. And this is the family. So the one who cuts off the ties of the family, and the one who spreads fasad in the world, he spreads evil in the world, he's genocide and evil in the world, these are the three people Allah says, أُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمُ الْلَعْنَةِ. They have Allah's la'na, and they shall have the worst abode in the hereafter. So of the people whom Allah has cursed in the Quran, is the one who cuts off from the family. Now the question arises, what does it mean to fulfill the ties of kinship? What does silatul arham mean? The Quranic term and the hadith term is silatul arham. And by the way, I gave a khutbah here recently. What is the very first khutbah that our Prophet ﷺ gave when he entered Medina? I gave a whole khutbah about that. That the Prophet ﷺ said that, O people, spread the salam and feed the hungry. Wasilul arham. And be connected to your relatives, and feed and pray when everybody is asleep, you shall enter Jannah in salam. Notice, of the earliest commandments, even in Medina, وَصِلُوا الْأَرْحَامِ صِلَةُ الرَّحِمِ. What does it mean, صِلَةُ الرَّحِمِ? صِلَة and وَصَلَ means to connect. وَصَلَ means to connect. And الرَّحِم, as we said, means the family. So صِلَةُ الْأَرْحَامِ means to remain connected with your extended family in a manner that is acceptable and according to the culture of one's time. So what this means is that you are in touch with your family. It means that you are showing them love, you're showing them kindness, you're showing them concern. It means that you're aware of what's going on. One of our scholars of the past said that giving salam to your relatives is of the acts of silatul arham. Simply giving salam, and of course in those days there was no phone, so giving salam is you have to visit them. So visiting your relatives is of the highest acts of silatul arham. Simply going out of your way to visit your relatives is an act of silatul rahim. And of course in our times we have, alhamdulillah, the phones and the WhatsApp and the messages and Facebook. Being connected with one's relatives is a sign of iman, and it is a part and parcel of what all of us are commanded to do. Now the question also arises, to what level is silatul arham necessary and mandatory? And the response comes that the sharia did not come with a specific code and guidelines. The sharia came with general rules. And this varies from culture to culture and time to time and place to place. Obviously, our connections to our brothers and sisters, our blood brothers and sisters, should be much stronger than our connection with our first cousins. And our connection with our first cousins is stronger than our connection with our second cousins. And it is human nature that after a while you lose track of your third and fourth cousins. This is all something that is understandable. But definitely, our actual siblings, brothers and sisters, they have the most right over us after our parents and their children and our first cousins. And generally, every one of us is aware of our first cousins. We know all of our first cousins, no matter how many we have, generally we're aware of them. There should be a contact. There should be the occasional phone call. There should be the invitation over to happy occasions, which is what culturally is accepted and the norm. And many of us are aware of a good quantity of second cousins as well. And again, the second cousin is not like the first cousin. But the point is that as the strength of the relationship is stronger, so too the silatul rahim should be stronger as well. And of the greatest acts of silatul rahim is to take care financially of our family and extended family, those that are in need. If you have anyone in your extended family, your cousins, your second cousins, your third cousins, if you have anybody who is deserving of charity, then find them and give them money over anybody else. In a hadith, our Prophet sallallahu sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that giving to the poor is sadaqah, but giving to the relatives is both sadaqah and silatul rahim, reported in An-Nisa'i. Giving to the poor is sadaqah, that's good, give to the poor. But giving to ulul qurba, the family, this is both sadaqah and being good to your family. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran, and with this verse we always conclude the khutbah. What is the last verse everybody says around the world? Inna Allah ya'muru with what? Bil adli wal ihsani. What's number three? Wa ita'i dhil qurba, giving money to the relatives. Allah is commanding you to give money to your relatives who need money. So especially when it comes to sadaqah, even when it comes to zakat, and you don't have to tell your cousin, your second cousin, you're giving zakat. And it is not just permissible, it is mustahab to give your extended family your zakat and your sadaqah. Now you cannot give zakat to your mother and father, but you can give zakat to your siblings and your cousins and your aunts and uncles. The general rule is you can give zakat to them, but not to your mother and father, and not to your son and daughter. But other than this, yes, you may give zakat, and of course you can give sadaqah to everyone. So silatul arham means to show love, to show kindness, to show compassion, to be in touch with them, to invite them for when needs to be invited, to visit them whenever possible, and to help them financially. How far back does rahim go? Well, there is no limit. In the end of the day, every one of us is connected with everybody else. And I want everybody to let that point sink in, even though we know it. But every person you meet in this whole world, even your worst enemy, and your best friend, and your acquaintance, and your colleague, at some point in time, the two of you shared the same womb. At some point in time, there was one person in the womb of a mother, in the womb of a woman, and the both of you are linked to that person. At some point in time, every one of us is linked to one another. So there is no technical term that after the third cousin, it is cut off. In fact, in a very powerful hadith, a very strong, a beautiful hadith, our Prophet ﷺ predicted to the Muslims, إِنَّكُمْ سَتَفْتَحُونَ مِصْرٍ. You are going to conquer Misr. You're going to conquer Egypt. This conquering took place 10 years after the Prophet ﷺ died, but he predicted it. إِنَّكُمْ سَتَفْتَحُونَ مِصْرٍ. You're going to conquer Misr. And the hadith goes on until he said, when you conquer it, فَأَحْسِنُوا إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهَا. Be good to the people whom you conquer. فَإِنَّ لَهُمْ ذِمَّةً وَصِلَةً. Because they have dhimma status, they have protection status, and they have family status with you. Now what has the Egyptian family status got to do with the Qurayshi and the Arab family status? Hundreds of generations ago, who is the mother of the Quraysh? It is Hajar. And where is Hajar from? Hajar is from Egypt. But this is thousands of years ago. Like literally, we don't even know the number of ancestors. And yet our Prophet ﷺ said, they are related to you, their blood. They're your blood. Think about that. The Arab race at the time of the Prophet ﷺ and the Egyptian race have a different language, different civilization, different religion. Everything is different. They don't even look the same. Nothing is the same. Thousands of years have gone by from Hajar. But what did our Prophet ﷺ say? Remember, they are in the end of the day your extended family. So there is no limit to when it comes to extended family, but obviously the point being that the closer people are, then the better and the stronger those ties should be. And a practical advice, brothers and sisters, and I speak from my own experience here, and it is a very, very healthy and a very interesting and a very Islamic project, that it is, I advise all of you to chart out your own relatives and your own family background, to chart out your own family tree, and to discover who your ancestors were and how you are linked with your extended family. This is a project that will increase your own appreciation of your heritage, and it will bring family together. You will be amazed. You will caught up a third cousin you never knew existed. And as soon as you tell him, oh, I am so-and-so, the son of so-and-so, the grandson of so-and-so, we're linked like this, all of a sudden, barriers are broken, doors are opened up, and you connect with family, and you feel a part of family. And I speak from my own experience, having done this for the last 6 or 7 years, and it is a project that has brought me closer together with my extended family. And every one of us should do this. In fact, this is what the Sahaba advised. Umar ibn al-Khattab said, تَعَلَّمُوا أَنْسَابَكُمْ. Learn your genealogies. Learn your family trees. So that will help you to fulfill the ties of kinship. And amongst the Arabs at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it was considered to be a very noble science to know family history and genealogy. And Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu was respected amongst the Muslims and non-Muslims of his time because he knew the genealogy of all the Arabs. You could ask him of any two Arabs and he would be able to connect them no matter how many generations back it went. And it is amazing that to this day, especially the tribe of Quraysh, you know exactly how any two Qurayshis are linked together when you go back to the books of Sirah. Any Qurayshi with another Qurayshi, they have preserved their lineage and their history. But in our times, of course, all of this is now becoming a lost science. Nonetheless, we should keep it alive, especially brothers and sisters. We have broken away from our extended families back home, and we're starting new families over here in America who don't even know, maybe even your first cousins, your children have no idea who they are. So it is your responsibility to pass that knowledge down and to keep it preserved. And this is of the ways we will come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Brothers and sisters, Allah says in the Quran, فَآتِ ذَا الْقُرْبَ حَقَّهُ وَالْمِسْكِينَ وَابْنَ السَّبِيلِ. Give the rights due to your family and give the rights due to the miskeen and to the wayfarer. ذَلِكَ خَيْرٌ لِلَّذِينَ يُرِيدُونَ وَجْهَ اللَّهِ. That is the best thing to do if you want the pleasure of Allah. And those are the true winners. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those winners. بارك الله لي ولكم في القرآن العظيم ونفعني وإياكم بما فيه من الآيات والذكر الحكيم أقول ما تسمعون وأستغفر الله العظيم لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين لكل ذنب فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. استغفر الله الذي لا إله إلا هو يقول استغفر الله استغفر الله. الحمد لله الحمد لله الواحد الأحد الصمد الذي لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد وبعد. Brothers and sisters, every one of us, without exception, has certain members of our family who are problematic to deal with. And this is the reality of human existence. Sometimes we feel, oh, only I have that weird uncle or that harsh cousin or that demeaning aunt. No, every human being is tested with family members that are problematic to our sanity, our calmness. This is the reality. And Allah says in the Quran, we have made groups of you to be tests to others. وَجَعَلْنَا بَعْضَكُمْ لِبَعْضٍ فِتْنَةً أَتَصْبِرُونَ. We made groups of you to be tests and difficulties to others to see who amongst you will be patient. And no doubt, brothers and sisters, that in dealing with such difficult family members, our iman will be tested. One of the biggest tests of this life is to deal with difficult family members, because we are battling between our egos and submission to Allah. Really, that's as simple as that. It is our ego. My uncle said this, I'm not going to forgive him. My cousin did this at the wedding, I'm never going to say salam to him again. This is my ego speaking. And we know the commandment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when it comes to family. And it's very difficult to battle one's ego when it comes to the family issues. But this is where iman is demonstrated. Now, no doubt, caveat here, no doubt, if a family member is physically harmful to you, we're not asking, you know, anybody to get physical harm. And no doubt, some family members are psychologically so traumatic that it will affect your iman, or you feel you will not be able to control your temper. So in those cases, when it's psychological, it's no doubt that you need to act wisely and perhaps not expose yourself to a situation where you will fail. But even if you decide that there's a psychological trauma, you don't want to be with this family member, then make sure that that is a temporary intention. You are not allowed to boycott for more than 3 days. And boycotting is salam. And in your heart, make it your desire that inshallah, I will heal this over time. Some practical advice, what to do with difficult family members. 5 simple pieces of advice. Number one, think long and hard about the source of the problem. And remind the source of the problem, meaning your ego is what I'm trying to say, not the actual incident that happened, because always these incidents happen. And remind yourself that the test is not to prove yourself in his or her eyes. The test is to prove yourself in the eyes of Allah. The test is not to come out looking the winner or the loser when it comes to your relative. The test is to come out the winner when it comes to Allah on Judgment Day. Remind yourself of the verses of the Quran, of Silatul Arham, of the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ about the concept of family, and ask yourself, don't you want to come out the winner on Judgment Day? Number two, give any problem sometime. Time heals all wounds. Time heals all wounds. This is of the facts of life. No matter how bitter and angry you are with your cousin today, inshallah, 1 year from now, it won't be that bad. 2 years from now, it will be even better. So give it some time. And it is of the greatest ironies of life, for some bizarre reason, that at times of weddings, when everybody should be happy, family strife comes up and perhaps the worst arguments take place. And it is of the greatest ironies of life that at the time of death, families are mended together and wounds are healed. This is of the sunnatullahi fi khalqi. But why should we wait for death? And what if the person you're angry with dies? Don't wait for a janazah to heal wounds with members of a family. Number three, make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to soften your heart and the family member whom you're having a problem with. Ask yourself this: if you cannot even make dua to Allah to wound the hearts, then you really don't want Silatul Arham. Really, it's that simple. If you cannot raise your hands to Allah and say, "Oh Allah, soften my heart and soften his heart so that we come brothers again, cousins again, uncle and nephew again." If you cannot even raise your hands to Allah and nobody's hearing you, this is in the privacy of your house, and you say, "Oh Allah, cleanse my heart and his of any animosity, any jealousy. Let us be friends as we used to be. Let us be friendly as we used to be." If you cannot even make dua to Allah, then wallahi, you do not want Silatul Arham. So don't kid yourself and don't fool yourself that somehow he is the worst of the two. Even if he is, what do you lose by raising your hands up to Allah and saying, "Oh Allah, guide him and guide me to be close again"? What do you lose? And remember what Allah says in the Quran regarding the pagans of Mecca and the Muslims. When they embraced Islam, the pagans of Mecca and the Quraysh, when they embraced Islam, what does Allah say? "You could never have imagined that you would be friendly with those people. لَوْ أَنْفَقْتَ مَا فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا مَا أَلَّفْتَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِهِمْ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ أَلَّفَ بَيْنَهُمْ." If you spend the entire money in this world, you wouldn't have brought those hearts together. But Allah was the one who brought those hearts together. So of the names of Allah, يَا مُؤَلِّفَ الْقُلُوبِ, "Oh, who brings the hearts together." So make dua to Allah with the name Ya مُؤَلِّف الْقُلُوبِ, and that Allah joins those hearts. Number four, and then number five, we're done. Number four, try to begin with a positive gesture. Try to begin with a gift, with something good, and be the better of the two. And remember what our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, hadith is in Sahih Bukhari: the true wasil, the true one who connects with his relatives, is not the one who treats the relative the way the relative treats him. If your relative's kind, you're kind. If your relative's mean, you're mean. No. The true wasil, silatul arham, the true connector is not the one who treats the same, but rather the one who connects when the other has broken off. This hadith is in Sahih Bukhari. The true connector, wasil, the one who does silatul arham, is not the one who treats the same. No, that's not wasil. But the one who, when your relative cuts off, you try to mend and you try to connect. That is the true silatul arham. And last but not least, brothers and sisters, if all else fails, then be selfish and do silatul arham for your own benefit. And this is completely halal and permissible. What do I mean by this? The last hadith we'll mention. Our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Whoever wishes that Allah gives him a longer life, and that Allah increases his money and rizq, and that Allah saves him from an evil death." Now, who amongst us does not want to live longer and live richer and die a peaceful death? Think about that. The three greatest worldly incentives that are possible to imagine. Whoever wishes that Allah gives him a longer life and more money and a good death, فَلْيَصِلْ رَحِمَهُ, let him be good to his family. Hadith is authentic in Tirmidhi. And the Prophet, why is he telling us this? Because sometimes all else fails and we just do it because we want more money. We want more rizq. We want more life. And you know what is halal? Why is it halal? Because we know that we're doing it for Allah and Allah will bless us with rizq. In the end of the day, it is linked to Allah and it is halal. So if all else fails, be selfish for yourself. In this case, it's halal. And you say, oh Allah, I'm doing this because I trust you and I trust your Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I have iman that if I am the better person and I fulfill the ties of kinship, that you will give me a better life and you will raise my financial status and you will let me die a peaceful death. This is iman, isn't it, right? Because you're doing it because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said so. So it's all halal. And therefore, brothers and sisters, it is permissible to use this as an incentive to connect with those who have cut off from you. And we conclude this hadith with a stern reminder, brothers and sisters. Our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, hadith is in Sahih Bukhari, لا يدخل الجنة قاطع الرحم. لا يدخل الجنة قاطع الرحم. The one who breaks off the rahim, the family ties, shall never enter Jannah. We seek Allah's refuge from being amongst them.